And we thank you, Lord God, that even today, as we meditate upon your word, as we get into the book of Daniel, that you are showing us, Lord God, what it is to dwell in your kingdom, to know what it is to hear from the living God. So we honor you, and we bless you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good. We're in Daniel. Y'all remember we have an election coming up. Aren't you glad that Nebuchadnezzar is not in charge? Amen? You are. How many know you're in charge? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't seem like I'm in charge. Well, you know, the Constitution that we have here, you're in charge. So get out there and act like it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, if you're in charge of something, maybe you're in charge of your house or your finances. If you're in charge of something, don't you kind of find out what's going on so you know what's happening? Don't you pay attention? Don't you kind of read the mail when the mail comes in? Don't you read it? You don't let your mailbox fill up and you're not paying any attention. When the bills come due, you pay them. Amen? So when those things are going, when what's going on around you, pay attention and ask the Lord how to deal with it. Ask the Lord what to do with it. If he set you in a position of authority, then you have to take that authority. He's given you a duty and a place to manifest his authority. Amen? That's what you're doing, is you have an authority right here in this earth to declare and to put in place government. Now, people may be fighting against you. You ever had that happen? There's a demonic force fighting against you every day of the week. Amen? You got troubles, and God knows it. Amen. It's good for you. You got troubles. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. So you have a legitimate reason to be depressed. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, in the world you have trouble, but help me out. I'm tired of preaching. I preached already once. Y'all help me. He said, why? Why did he say that? How about you people back there? What do they say? Speak up. B. That was good. Suzanne's got it. Okay. Back row. Ready. For I. Woohoo! Now, everybody give a shout. Well, man, y'all like doing that part. It's just the sword drills y'all are averse to. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he says. I mean, we could quit right now, couldn't we? Just go to Luby's. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. That's powerful. Amen. We've been looking in the book of Daniel over this year. And it's, you know, when trouble came into Jerusalem and trouble came into Israel, Daniel was spirited away. Not really spirited, they upped and carried him off to Babylon. And they grabbed him and took him off to Babylon. And he didn't appear to be all that depressed because he knew who his God was. Amen? He knew who his God was. He had heard of the mighty God. He had heard of the Savior of Israel. He had heard of the deliverance from Egypt. You remember in all the stories of Israel, they would always declare and remember in all the feasts, they would remember the deliverance from Israel from Egypt. They would make remembrances to one another of the deliverance of Egypt of Israel out of the hand of Egypt, out of the hand of the Assyrians, out of the hand of all of these enemies that they've been delivered from. Now you and I are going to make a remembrance of that day is because we've been delivered out of the hand of flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. I've been delivered out of the hand of my flesh. Now, my flesh is nasty and rotten. And see, this is a Pastor Jim type sermon here. My flesh is nasty, rotten, and ugly. You know what? It's all true. But you know what? I've been delivered out of the hand of that thing. So I rejoice today in my deliverance. I rejoice today in my deliverance. And so I don't come before the throne of God depressed. Now, how many of you failed last week? That's good. Okay, everybody raise your hand. Now, okay, hold your hand up real high. Just forget what I just asked. Forget what I just asked. Everybody raise your hand real high. Everybody in the house. Okay? Now hold your hand up real high. No, don't, no, Larry, you're supposed to be an example. How many of you failed? Keep your hand up. Okay, that's a good answer. Praise the Lord. Now you've failed this week. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Now you have a reason to call on God. Amen? Because you're not perfect. He said be perfect and you're not. So are you rejoicing in that? Everybody raise your hand. Are you rejoicing in the fact that you're not perfect in your flesh? Yes, because that's why Jesus came. Because you can't be perfect in your flesh, in your strength. Now, he's done something different. He's empowered you, and he's coming to dwell in you by the Holy Spirit. He's come to dwell in you by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what I want to talk about today, is how the Holy Spirit has transformed you out of this kingdom into the kingdom of his dear Son. That is, your sons, girls, your sons this morning. You have been made to be the children of God, no longer servants, but, everybody say sons. Good, girls, say sons. There's one. Praise the Lord. Girls, one, two, three. Good, all right, praise the Lord. See, girls are sons in this context. Neither male nor female in Christ. What that mean? It means you're all sons. Well, thank you, Jesus. It's good to be a son. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 10. You put your hand there, at least get there. Now, as we remember, so he's been carted off in the beginning of Daniel. I just kind of repeat this and kind of get a running start for you. Is that he's Daniel and the three other Hebrew children, and many others, were carted off into Babylon, and they were trained in the ways of the Babylonians. They were sent to Babylonian school, but thank God, God got a hold of them first. God got a hold of them back in Bar Mitzvah. He taught them, they were taught the Word of God, what? From a child. That's what you and I need to be doing for our children, is teaching them, or grandchildren, whatever, is training them up, even if the parents are mad, training them up in the ways of Jesus Christ from the foundation, from the very beginning. When they rise up, when they lay down, when you're coming in, when you're going out, is to declare these things, to talk about God, to talk about it, because that creates a worldview. That creates an understanding that there is a God in heaven, and there is a Savior whom is Jesus Christ, who knows that we have need of Him. And so you were training our children in these words, day after day, month after month, year after year. And so let's look at here in Daniel chapter 10, because when those things are taking place, when those words are taking root in your children, then it's when they begin to be held into a particular worldview that is not easily shaken. Is not easily shaken. Because this is the foundation. This is for them gravity. This is for them any law, as good as any law in the flesh is these things that you are teaching them. Amen? Like, you know, Patrick and Cullen. You can't talk them out of it. They'll go to college like Wade, and they'll try to, even ORU, I don't know what they teach now, but they try to talk you out of it. You know, you get smart people in college, right? So they want to try to talk you out of faith. They want to try to talk you into this world. These guys, it's going to be hard to take that out of them. Amen? It's going to be hard to take them out of it. It's not impossible. So you guys need to be in the Word of God. You guys need to have a Bible and a Scripture on your own. Your dad's getting too, he's not big enough now. He's not big enough to make you. Well, maybe you, but he's not big enough to, you know, to make both of you. So you have to get your own Bible. Y'all got your own Bible? Huh? Did you crack it yet? Is it kind of broken in like a good pair of shoes? Huh? You want to crack that thing open. Don't just depend on Dad's Bible. You got to make your own. You got to open it up. Make sure the gold falls off the edge, you know, so it doesn't look like a Bible that people put on their coffee table. Yeah, you want a Bible that actually looks like it's been kicked, beat up, and used. Amen? Praise the Lord. I used to tell people to stand on the Word, and I'd take a Bible like this, and I'd do this, and then I'd do this. And I had Susan Montgomery got all over me one day, because she just, oh, man, Lord, she's just upset because I was standing on the Word. Amen. This is the book with print in it. Amen? It's not a holy icon. Amen? Is that right, Barbara? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm using this. This is a practical book. You open it up. Standing on the Word. Open it up. Practice it. Open. Thank God. Read it. Use it. Amen? Wear it out and get another one. Point being, there's nothing. That word, the Word of God in that book, that was a living Bible anyways, that was okay. No, there's the Word of God in that book, and so we open it up to use it, to break it open, and that's what Daniel had. He not only had been trained, but he broke it open continually to check it out. Last time we were together, we looked back here at in chapter 9, he said, back there, verse 2, in the first year of Daniel, the first year of Darius the king, he went to the Word of God and looked in Jeremiah so he could figure out, okay, what was this 70 years all about? So Daniel was getting into the Scripture, going to go read Jeremiah. How many know you could read Jeremiah? You could actually open the book and read it. It's right there. Amen? It's even in English. It's even better. You know, it's not even in Hebrew. They really actually made it where you could read this thing. So here in chapter 10, I want to look here. In the third year of Cyrus. Now we started out with Darius. Darius. And the next king in this group is Cyrus. Now Cyrus is also spoken of in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and they named him by name. They named him by name, said, Cyrus heard from God and said, come and go. I want you to go to Jerusalem and build up the city and build me a house. Rebuild the house. The king of Iran, now how many know Persia is essentially the kingdom of Iran? Amen? Okay, just let you know. Okay, if you want to take a picture in your mind, everybody's seen enough maps. I can't draw you a map. So everybody's seen a picture on the news. Here's Iran, and here's Iraq. Well, Babylon is Iraq. If you're looking at the map, that's the littler one on the left, and then the one on the right that's bigger is Iran. That's Persia. So these are ancient nations with ancient conflicts. Okay? And that's what they did. Now this king, Cyrus, was the second king in Persia under which Daniel was held captive. Darius came in and destroyed the kingdom of Babylon in the same night that Daniel was made third in the kingdom. That's kind of scary. He made it third in the kingdom of a kingdom that's going to be gone in about 3 hours. Now, what would you normally do if you were coming in to conquer a kingdom and some guy was the third guy in the kingdom? Off with his head. More or less. Amen? Daniel got made the first president. He had three presidents. Daniel got made the first one. And he was one of the top guys in the kingdom that was right before him. That's the favor of God, isn't it? It's amazing what the Word of God will do for you on the inside of you, isn't it? It'll transform your position. Amen? Now, didn't mean Daniel didn't run into trouble. You remember he did get thrown in that lion's den later on. Remember that? You betcha. Man, lion's den. Thrown in the lion's den, angel in there, keeps him free. Keeps him from getting eaten. That's awesome. Daniel, are you still in there? Did your God deliver you? Oh, king, live forever. Well, the king's the guy that signed the law. I'd want to curse the king. How about you? Oh, king, live forever. See, they snookered the king. And, of course, the king could, that means they tricked him. And they tricked him, and so he signed the law, but then he wasn't thinking of Daniel sitting there with his window open praying. All right? So all of these things. All of these things that God is doing to those who He has raised up and put in a position to be His mouthpiece and His voice in the kingdom that is of this world. Now, let's move up to you. This is the kingdom in which you have been made the Daniels. Amen? You are Daniel in this kingdom today. You are the Word of God. Well, isn't there enough others? No, there's not. There's not enough others. If you won't, you can't count on anybody else. Now, is there nobody else? No, Jeremiah. Remember, God told Jeremiah, said, I have 7,000 that haven't yet bent the knee to Baal. But at the time, Jeremiah didn't know that, did he? He was just ignorant. He had no idea how many more were there. All he knew was he was going through a hard time. Anybody here like that? I don't believe you. In the world you have. But see, I want you to begin to thank God because you're in, because this is what Jesus told you. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So all of the things that are taking place are for your benefit and for your blessing, to knock the flesh out of you and to cause you to be risen up in power, to cause you to be risen up in glory, so that the Holy Spirit can use you today to demonstrate himself in the earth. That's what you're here for. Hallelujah. Is to be discipled. You're here to be destroyed in your flesh, because flesh doesn't produce anything. Flesh is flesh. Flesh produces flesh. Spirit produces spirit. So build up spirit, it produces more. What happens if you build up flesh? Produces more. Produces more of the same. So, you know, the more we, I think we talked about this last time, about how many distractions that we have. How many distractions we have now in this earth. I said, when we have, you know, when I was growing up, we had four channels on TV. Now you got, you know, 1,004. You know, then you got these things, you know, and then you got computer internets, and you got everything in the world to take your time. Well, Daniel didn't have all that. I'm sure he had something else. Amen? He had something else. You just got more excuses that you can think of. God is not interested. He loves you. And he wants to destroy flesh so that he can bring you up into power. Amen? He wants to destroy flesh to bring you into power. Can you do this on your own? Absolutely not. You don't have any power or strength. All you have is what Jesus gave you, which is faith. Amen? So when you have failed and done miserably and done lousily, God loves you. He thinks you're great. He honestly does think you're great. He is just blessed by you. Not because of your sin, but because you've put hope in his Son. Amen? So when your failure is evident before you, rejoice. Oh, brother, I don't think I can do that. I'm full of condemnation and fear. Stop it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got to say it myself. Hallelujah. Look here in the verse chapter 10 of Daniel. In the third year of King Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. You'll remember then that, they changed all their names, so they changed his name to Belteshazzar. And I can't remember the names of the other names that they changed to was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The other three Hebrew children, the other one was Azariah, can't remember. But anyway, those were their Hebrew names, were changed to Babylonian names. So Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. So a thing was revealed to Daniel, and this thing was true. But the time appointed was long, it was far off. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now he's going to begin to talk about how it came to pass. So there was a thing that was revealed to Daniel, and he had understanding. He had understanding of the thing that was revealed to him. Now, how did he get that? How did he get that? Did he just, you know, just willy-nilly, just poof? Listen here. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's 21 days. He was mourning 3 full weeks. What is it to mourn? That is, he was before the Lord in prayer, away from the things of the world. He had set himself to fast, to bring himself apart from the things of this world. So he was in mourning or in fasting, in setting himself apart and setting himself aside for 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. So I didn't eat any pleasant bread. So I guess that was what he meant was, you know, he didn't eat any. He ate, but he didn't eat much. He ate, but just enough to sustain, just so he wasn't falling asleep all the time. So some fasting is not just not eating totally, but it may be eating minimally. eating just enough to, you know, not your favorite Mexican food or something, you know, but and not your favorite steak, but you may eat some bread, a little bit of water, and eat some water, eat some juice. You just take enough to sustain yourself. So we're, again, how many know when a lot of time when you don't eat, you just kind of, okay, I'm going to pray now. You just fall asleep. You just fall over. No, you want to have enough, but I'll encourage you if you're desiring or moving toward fasting, is to reduce the amount of your intake, not totally to cut it off, but just to reduce the amount of your intake. Change your intake, your diet intake. Make it bread and juice. Make it, you know, smaller portion, much smaller portions, perhaps. All right. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. Again, so he's not having, not eating like he normally does. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Again, I don't know that he didn't take a bathe at all, but at least he didn't fix himself up and put himself out there, you know, in his full regalia, in his full good-looking self. But he didn't take time to do all that you normally do. But he put his time into the presence of the Lord. Neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Now that river is actually the river, the Tigris River. So he was by the Tigris River. So he's out there by the river in the 24th day. So 3 days after the 21 days had ended. So he was apparently, you know, back, maybe he was bathing by the river. I don't know. Perhaps he was eating more, back to his regular diet. So it wasn't in the middle of the 21 days, but it was 3 days following. 3 days following the 21. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. Now I want you to listen to this one. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold. Now, what I want you to do is we're going to go through this, and then I'm going to look over in Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to compare this sight of Daniel to the sight of John, the vision of John in Revelation chapter 1. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and it's like a stone, like a sapphire, a precious stone. And his face as the appearance of lightning. And his eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And his feet, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Okay, I'm going to turn over here to Revelation chapter 1. If you want to, you can look at that with me. In verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man. Now we know that to be Jesus. Clothed with a garment down to the floor, to the foot, and girt about the paps, that is the breast, the chest. Girt about. Now the other one, the first one says about the loins, this one says girt about the chest, with a golden girdle. The garment, both garments, were garments of enlaced with gold. 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool and as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. Now the hair we don't see, but we also see in verse 6 of Daniel 10, we see his eyes as lamps of fire. Verse 15 in Revelation 1, and his feet were like to fine brass, again, finished brass in Daniel 10:6. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And his voice in Daniel 10, the voice of his words, like the voice of a multitude. All right? Now he's here. Let's look and continue to look at Revelation chapter 1. And he had in his right hand, verse 16, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in strength. Now, if you look back at 10, Daniel 10, you see that his face, in verse 6, had the appearance of lightning. So his countenance was as the sun shines in strength. Okay, this is back in Revelation, now 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. Okay, now, when he says that I fell at his feet as dead. Well, have you ever seen any other instances where people were falling before a spiritual encounter as dead? You remember the two Roman soldiers there at the tomb of Jesus. They became as what? Dead men. Because when the two angels showed up, he fainted just dead away. Because when the Spirit of God arrives, we'll find this later in Daniel 10, is your strength is diminished. When the Spirit of God arrives, your strength is diminished. You remember over in the testimony of Solomon's temple, when they were going to dedicate the temple, it said the priests, now the cloud came in to the temple, the glory of God came in the temple, and the priests were sitting there, hey, are you ready? You're ready to get, yeah, we're up next. It's like Clay and Jim. Okay, we're up next. They're going to take the offering. We're up next. But then the glory of God came in, and they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, okay, it's time. He said the priest could not stand to minister. Now, that didn't mean they didn't like to minister. What it means is they couldn't stand. They couldn't get up. They were physically impaired from rising in the presence of the Spirit of God. So here, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That is, I couldn't move. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? In a service or in... There's been some services where you either dropped out cold or you couldn't get up. I've been there. Amen. The Spirit of God came in power. Now, back in chapter 10 of Daniel, this is Jesus. This is an appearance of Jesus before he was manifested in the flesh. What does this appearance relate to? It relates to his appearance as judge in the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Now, this isn't the Jesus that John knew. This isn't the Jesus that John knew from walking the shores of Galilee or eating the Passover. This wasn't the Jesus he remembered. He was like him, but not really. So here, this is a revelation of Jesus. Now, the talking that is done here is not ultimately Jesus, but it's an angel. Because he has seen Jesus and he hears his voice. But the speaking is from an angel who is delivering to him a message. Okay, let's look at Daniel chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Does that remind you of anything? It reminds me of Paul in the book of Acts. Is that the men that were with him, see, Paul saw Jesus. Paul saw Jesus right before him. And the men that were with him didn't see. They didn't see Jesus. They heard a thundering. They heard thunderings. Here, he says this, is that the men who were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So it wasn't just like them looking up going, you know, Daniel's kind of lost it. No, there was a quaking going on. There was a shaking that was happening. Something was going on. Everybody who was in the place knew that there was a presence of the Holy One coming to make himself known in that location at that time. So Daniel alone saw Jesus as he looked up. So in other words, he's standing by the river, and all of a sudden he looks up and he sees this vision of the revelation Jesus. But a great quaking fell upon them, and so they fled to hide themselves. That's in Acts chapter 9, verse 7. Therefore I was left alone. Everybody bailed out. They ran to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone. When I first I didn't notice that until just now, is that, you know, actually those guys did run off. It wasn't just that he was alone seeing the vision, just he was the only one that saw it. He was actually alone. And so you see, Daniel was out there, but and Daniel was also still a dignitary of high regard, having servants out there by the river. So he had men that were with him to attend to his needs. He was even in the kingdom of Cyrus, a well-known and well-respected man of God. Cyrus, of course, is now going out to build the house of God. This is the third year of Cyrus. He's going in to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And to begin to rebuild, because God had told him to go build. Did I read that to you? 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Let's look at that for a second. Kind of fill you in on all the things that are happening at this point in time. This is right before the book of Ezra comes in rebuilding the wall. 2 Chronicles 36, 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying this: Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, and which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His people. The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. Let him go up to Jerusalem. So Cyrus is now commanded that this kingdom be built, and Daniel, again, he's older now, but he is well respected in the kingdom of Persia. So now verse 8, then I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me. Back in Daniel 10, verse 8. And there remained no strength in me. There you see again. There was no strength left in it. For my comeliness was turned into corruption. In other words, my nice fresh face was all the blood drained out of it. I'd looked good, but now I was looking bad. I was afraid. And I retained no strength. So that vision just took all of it out of you. It's like I just said regarding the presence of the Lord. It'll just take it out of you. The presence of the Spirit of God, just take all the strength out of your body. Yet, verse 9, I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. So I was in a deep sleep. So I heard the voice of his words. So I heard his words, and then I was in a deep sleep. Next thing I knew, next verse. And behold, a hand touched me. So we've changed from the vision. Now he's waking up and somebody else is with him. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he's on his knees and hands and knees. And he said to me, this is the person who touched him, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now, if we looked over at verse chapter 9 before, right before the vision of the, right before the prophecy regarding the 70 weeks, we find, O Daniel, a man much beloved. See, Daniel was one who is even like John, who desired to spend time in the presence of the Lord. So for you to spend time in the presence of the Lord is critical. We talked about before, back in some of the earlier visions, that Daniel had the vision upon his bed. He began to have visions upon his bed that he was meditating upon the Lord. And that's where these visions come from. That's where understanding comes from, is from spending time not on the internet and spending time not burdened by the affairs of this life. Amen? Because this life is so burdensome. This life has so many things to offer you. You know, and that's why you have church once a week now. You used to have it four times a week. Now you got it, most places you got it Sunday morning. You know, I wonder what most of the buildings are for. You know, have a service once a week on Sunday morning, you know, for an hour. You know, we have, or they have maybe four services for 1 hour. And they promise you that every service is identical. You see, you won't miss anything. Four identical services, you know, on Sunday morning. I don't need an identical service. Amen? I want a service that God's going to speak to me. Praise the Lord. I shouldn't complain. Amen? Thank God they're meeting. Thank God they're meeting. Hopefully the Word of God is going forward, and that there is a remnant in that place. That there is a remnant in that place who is hungry for more. That's what the desire is here, is for a remnant that's hungry for more. I don't know how many want to follow the Lord. I don't know how many come and want to just, you know, have their obligation stroked, feel like their obligation is accomplished for the week, you know. Well, God wanted me to show up at least once a week. No, you're coming in to find the Holy One, to get every opportunity you can to hear, going in and coming out, rising up and laying down, to hear the Word of God, to hear the Word of the Lord. To show up when the Word of God is being preached, thanking God that you're going to receive something. Doesn't matter if it's Norman. Doesn't matter if it's me. Doesn't matter if it's Pastor Jim. Doesn't make any difference. Amen? Just those whom you know to be given to God. They may not have the same gifts. They have different gifts. Amen? But we come to fellowship together to hear the Word of the Lord and to know what God is saying. When someone has been assigned to deliver the Word of God to you, be there. Let the Word of God come into you. Let the truth come into you. Judge it by the Holy Spirit, not by your brains. Well, I don't like that guy. I like the other guy. Don't judge it by your brains. Judge it by the Word of God. Judge by the Holy Spirit. Amen? One of these days, we'll be killed. Then you're going to have to listen to Paul. You know, you'll probably still be around for another couple weeks. You know, you better show up. You know, you better show up. Larry will be up here. And finally, Norman will have to preach because Paul and Larry got mowed down. Amen? Praise God. It'd be really good. I'd rather be here for that. I'd like to be resurrected to hear Norman preach. Wouldn't you? It'd be great. No, when he starts a house church, you want to go to it. Amen? Because he's a man of God. He knows how to declare the word of God. Open your home. Listen to me. Open your home. Say, hey, I want somebody to come teach at my home. Not, I want Pastor Jim. Forget Pastor Jim. He's trying to get some sleep. Leave him alone. Call somebody else. Praise the Lord. Amen? Every time there's a house available and somebody has been assigned to deliver the Word of God, go there. Open yourself. Receive that opportunity. Amen? Receive that opportunity. Go and meet with the saints. Meet with more than you just sit with. Apparently some of you, like Jim, poor Jim back there, look at him. Sitting there by himself in the pew there. You know, he needs somebody to go encourage him, build him up. You know, Clay will sit across from him. Amen. Furman, he's over here by himself, right there in the middle of that, taking over that whole pew by himself. Amen. Somebody will come over there and encourage you, brother, in just a minute. Okay, so he set me, his hand touched me, put me up upon my knees. And he said to me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. He's a man greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You know that? God's not interested in what you hadn't done right. Because you couldn't do anything right anyway. How many of you failed? Oh, we asked that question. Never mind. Well, those same people that I noticed had failed before. How many know God is not interested in your failure? God's interested in the fact that you trusted Jesus, that you've trusted the Holy Spirit, that you dwell in Him, that He dwells in you, that He's making Himself known to you. Jesus Christ is making Himself known to you by the Holy Ghost. He's you know, you become kind of a funny person, you know, when the Holy Ghost begins to show up. You're not normal. Thank the Lord. You're not normal. You know, when the Holy Ghost arrived on the day of Pentecost, he said, These are not drunk as you suppose. These are not crazy as you suppose. But this is what was talking about in the book of Joel. He said, I'm gonna in the last days I'm gonna pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that's what he's doing, he's pouring out his spirit upon you. He came by the Spirit, by the angels, to demonstrate himself to Daniel. In your case, he's come to dwell in you by the Holy Spirit, to live inside of you, to cause you to know him, and to cause you to walk in a perfected life that is not born of your own strength. Did you notice he took all of your strength away when he showed up? Is that what he said? Let me read it again. And I have retained no strength. Say that. I have retained no strength. Give up. Well, that's a good word. I have retained no strength. This is not about you working it up to please God. How many know He's already pleased? Amen? Did you fail big recently? Did you fail big 20 years ago, and you still haven't recovered from it because you thought you were supposed to recover and then you could see God, then you could come into His presence, you know, after you'd recovered sufficiently, because He wouldn't want to see you in your current situation. Amen? And some of you never came back. Amen? How many know He wants to see you right now? He's calling for you right now. He's calling for you in that you have retained no strength. That's the kinds He wants, is no strength. That's the kind that He wants, is you with no strength. Do you have no strength? Janet has no strength. She's falling apart at the seams. Go talk to her, she'll tell you. There's all that stuff. Her husband has no help for her at all. Amen? That'd be me. Has no assistance for her at all. She's over in a hard place, and I won't help her. I can't help her. I won't help her. Something. But God, what'd you say God said in the bathroom? Amen. Praise the Lord. She, and he was talking about her husband. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. So girls, when you're thinking about your husband, just hear the word of the Lord and say it. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Deborah should be here to hear that. Barbara should be here to hear that. Yeah, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But even when it has to do with your job and you're teaching and the whole of the school district is coming down on your head and God speaks to you. That's all you need. That's all you need. Amen? He says here, O Daniel, beloved, much beloved. You know, you want to rest in that. Amen? How many of you want to rest in that? You're the beloved of the Lord. Not because you did everything he wanted you that you thought he wanted you to do. Not because you did everything right. One has nothing to do with the other. It's because you put your hope in Jesus. And then when you say, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, come and dwell in me. Show me your goodness. Show me your strength. Because I don't have any. I don't have any. See, he wants you to come into his presence just knowing that you have no strength. When you come in, don't come in whining and complaining. Come in, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Rejoice. Come into the presence of God. Look, don't come into Sorry about that. So he didn't come into the presence of God without falling apart in the sense that, oh my Lord, I just can't come in. I can't do what you want me to do. I just, you know, and don't come in from the standpoint as if God is requiring something of you that he wants you to perform. He said you can't perform it. You can't do it. You're not going to do it. It's only going to be the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that's going to perform. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will produce works. Not any other way. He said, be ye perfect. Just give up now. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. As your Father in heaven is perfect. God, not going to happen. Thank you that you put Jesus in front of me. Thank you that he is the one who's perfected. And then as I come into his presence and worship him, and then I get up from this as a dead man, as I get up from being flat on my face, he raises me up and he puts me in position and causes works to come forth. It's not because I can do them. It's because he's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's Daniel. Daniel performed because he had time, spent time in the presence of God. Daniel did the mighty works. The apostles did the mighty works. You do the mighty works. Not because you're being obedient to God, but because God is dwelling in you. Because Jesus dwells in you. So look here, verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright. Ah. See, remember when he strengthened him? Stand upright. Lost my place. Stand upright, for to you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God. to grow up, to know the presence of God, is to set yourself to understand. God, I want to understand. I want to have understanding. And to chasten yourself, to humble yourself and say, okay, God, I can't do it. Everybody practice that. I can't do it. Everything that you have said, I can't do. Remember what the children of Israel said? They said the opposite. Everything that you have done, said, we will do. Well, they never did any of it. So why don't you say the opposite? Say, everything you wanted me to do, I couldn't do. That's it. Now see over here, back where we talked about Daniel seeking the face of God for the word of Jeremiah. He said in verse 3 of chapter 9, I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. Okay? So now, set your heart to understand. And then number 2, make your confession. That is, I chastened myself before the Lord. Making my confession. That is, Lord, I failed. I have no standing in your presence. I have nowhere to stand in your presence. So he set his heart to understand and to chasten yourself before the Lord God in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 12. And your words were heard, and I am come because of your words. The angel says, I'm come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. There's another reason I'm prone to know that this is another angel and not Jesus. Because I don't know that Jesus would have been held up by the prince of Persia for 21 days. Because Michael, the prince of the angels, came to help me. I was on my way. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. That is like a spiritual power, a principality over that given kingdom, taking command over the kingdom of Persia against the Lord. And there'll be one for Greece later. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 14, now am I come to you to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. Couldn't talk. And he, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men, another angel, somebody looked like a man, but I knew he wasn't. Maybe it was because of the way he arrived. He touched my lips. Okay, remember that one. So this one came and touched his lips, and then I opened my mouth. Remember he said he was speechless? He was dumb? So he fell on the ground, and he was unable to speak because of that power of the presence of God. Then he says, one of the angels came and touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and I spoke and said to him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Well, there he is again. I have retained no strength. God likes to show you that you have no strength. Isn't that good? God likes to show you that you have retained, kept, had, enjoyed no strength. See, God's trying to take you out of the idea that it's power in this world, strength in this world, that allows you to serve the Lord, that allows you to be used of God. It's not your strength, is it? Hallelujah. Everybody say, I have retained no strength. Isn't that powerful? That you have retained no strength. I want you to remember that. I have retained no strength. Glory to God. It's not about you and your strength or your ability to overcome or overwhelm or overtake. It's about you being in the presence of God and being knocked down and having no strength. No strength to keep yourself together. No strength to keep your job together. No strength to keep anything that requires power on this earth. You have no ability or strength to keep it together apart from God. Now, if you do it in your own strength, then you become dependent upon flesh. Guys, don't be dependent upon flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Stop being dependent upon flesh. Get out of the idea that flesh is your strength. Even to do the will of God. He got rid of all of those sins. See those right there? They're all on the cross there. They're nailed to the cross. All the sins that you've committed, the ones that he points out, those have all been nailed to his cross. Jesus did that, not you. Do you believe? Do you believe you've been set free from the power of sin? Romans says, the sin shall not have dominion over you. The power of sin is broken. Amen? Well, yeah, but I seem to still have this problem. Get back into the presence of God. Don't get back to fixing your strength. Get back into the presence of God. Lord God, I thank you that you hate sin, but you love me. Well, what a contradiction that is. Because I seem to be full of sin. But God, I want you to deliver me. I want to be completely broken and set free. Wait a minute. No, you want to be completely broken and set free. You want to be discipled. What son is it, Hebrews says, that in chapter 12, it says, what son is it that the Father chastens not? He says later in that chapter, he says, our fathers in the flesh chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, the Lord God, chastens us for our profit. Not his profit, for your benefit. You benefactors. Amen. How many remember you're a benefactor? I mean, you're a beneficiary. You're a beneficiary. Remember? You're the guy who gets the inheritance. You're the girl who gets the inheritance. Receive that benefit. Is that all of your sins, they look like scarlet, they're now white as snow. God said, sin shall not have dominion over you. But I retain no strength. How can I fight sin? You can't. You can't fight sin. Boys and girls, you can't fight sin. God's already done it. Hallelujah. He's already done it. So in your rejoicing, in your praise, in your thanksgiving, entering into the presence of God, setting myself to understand the Word of God, setting myself to understand the presence of God, and make chastening myself, that is, saying, Lord God, I have no power nor ability to do what you've called me to do. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have done it and you are performing it. And this is where Daniel is getting these visions. It's because he has no strength in himself. Amen? Daniel has no power to fight lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no power to overcome flames. And you don't have any power in your flesh to overcome sin. Most churches, we want you to straighten up, glory to God. Make the pastor look good. Make it look like I'm preaching good sermons. And make it look like I hate sin. I do hate sin, but I can't fix you. Only God can fix you. I don't want you fixing up. I want you dead. Amen? God wants you dead. Totally dead to this world. Oh, my Lord, my vision, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant, verse 17, of my Lord talk with this, my Lord? For me, immediately there remained no strength in... He just keeps saying the same thing. When you're in the presence of God, there's no strength in you. You find no strength. Said it three or four times, didn't he? Why don't you write those down, huh? Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 8. Daniel chapter 10, verse 16. Daniel chapter 10, verse 17. Now we're finally getting to 18. Good. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man. Here comes another angel. And he strengthened me. He strengthened me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do no thing without Him. Apart from Him, I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. Sounds the same just like Daniel, doesn't it? Hey, Daniel. Danielle. Anybody here named Danielle? Hey, Danielle. Want to include the girls? Daniel. And he said to me, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Then listen to it. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. Hey, did you hear that? When he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. It wasn't like, come on, buck up. You know, be encouraged. No, he actually said, be strong. And you know what happened? I was strengthened. How'd that happen? Because he spoke a word to me. Because Jesus Christ is speaking a word to me. I am strengthened because of his word. You are clean, Jesus said, because of the word that I've spoken to you. He said to me here, be strong. Yea, be strong. And what's the testimony of Daniel? Hey, I was strengthened. And what's your testimony to when Jesus says to you, I've washed you with the word and you're clean? What do you say? Hey, I'm clean. Thank you. I'm clean. You're clean from the heart. Obviously, you're not clean outwardly yet. But go to His presence. Come in. And I was strengthened, and I said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. So when He strengthened you, then you're prepared to hear Him. When you are strengthened, then you're prepared to hear it. When you're strengthened to know that you have no power over sin, you have no power in this life except the power that is from His presence, then He will speak to you and you will hear Him. He can't speak to you where you will hear Him until you get past that strength of the flesh issue. Until you know that you have no power apart from Him, you cannot hear Him. I mean, you can read the Word, you can get basics, but I'm talking about hearing the Word of the Lord, a word from God. Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then said he, know you wherefore, do you know why I've come to you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come too. So he's going to go fight that prince of Persia. But then after that, you got something else. Once you got one, then you got another one. Then you got another one. Then you got another one. But I will show you that which is noted in the truth, in the scripture of the truth. And there is none that holds And there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. In other words, there's no power aside from the power of the principalities in heaven against the principalities of the enemy. There's no power on earth that does that. So the power that you and I have and through is through what? The power that Daniel had in prayer. The power over these principalities. There are things that you just can't deal with. Amen? There's things you can't deal with in your flesh, and you better go and cry out to God. Amen? I mean, you'll wear yourself out trying to handle this world. It's big. Remember when, I remember Janet brought this up, is that, remember when David came into the presence of Goliath? You know, you come to me with, you know, a sword and all the power of your kingdom, I come to you in the name of the living God. How do you come? How are you dressed? Are you dressed in Saul's armor? Strength of your flesh? I'm telling you, you know, we revert back to that all the time. We revert back to that all the time. How many, you know what I mean? You revert back to looking at yourself in the mirror instead of looking into the mirror of the Word of God, as James says. You're looking at your own flesh. You're looking at your own strength. You don't have any strength. I have retained no strength. I'm in the presence of God, and I've retained no strength. Only the strength of the living God. Amen? So that's what this vision, that's what I want you to take away from this morning, is that there is no strength that you have to be able to perform and do anything pertaining to the kingdom of God aside from His own power and strength. As Daniel came into the presence of God having no strength, he didn't believe in his own strength. Let God take your strength. Let Him take your strength. Lord, I just give up. I just give up everything. I give up my ability to perform for You, to do good for You, to do the kingdom of God in the earth, to have a great vision, to have a campus crusade. I'm sure there's been some good done. I'm sure there's a lot of good done. There's a lot of big organizations, but I'm not sure what's been accomplished in a lot of ways. I'm sure there's been a lot of people saved, but I don't know that there's been a lot of people mature. Amen? We're going to have a big nursery in heaven. Praise the Lord. Y'all are going to be... You need to get in there and start maturing some of these people before they get there. Otherwise, look what we're going to be doing for eternity. For the first 1,000 years, discipling everybody. Okay, no. And they're in heaven. They still don't know. They'll be in heaven, still won't know that God loves them. Well, I saw God today, and He didn't speak to me. It's like here in the church, you know, so-and-so didn't speak to you. You're all upset. Amen. You don't have to have anybody speak to you. You just need God to speak to you. Amen. That'll shut you up. Remember what He said? I was dumb. More ways than one. I was speechless. Well, it's good. You probably should be speechless. Be good for you to be speechless from time to time. I think God likes you to be speechless. That way He can teach us of it. Boy, if you listen to everything that comes out of your mouth, wouldn't you be depressed? Huh? My God. Everything comes out of your mouth is so depressing. Just shut up and listen to God. Well, that's rude. I shouldn't say that. I save that for Sunday night. Hey, I love you. God is good, isn't He? You blessed? Did you get anything out of this? I hope so. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, we magnify You and exalt You. Thank You for Your Word today. Thank You that we have retained no strength, that we have no strength in us. In fact, any strength we do have, we just give it up right now. We just give up our strength, our ability, our power right now in Jesus' name. And thank You, Lord God, that You are speaking to us now, and then we are strengthened of a truth. We are strengthened truly by Your presence and by Your Word. So we honor You, we glorify You, we praise You. We cast all of our care upon You right now. Sin doesn't have any power over me. Glory to God. We worship you and praise you for it. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.